know, Jared, I've been teaching high school for 5 years now, and I can't help but reminisce about our times in high school. You know, like, you remember that time we were sitting in class and we were just throwing spitballs back at each other? Fun times, right?
Remember that time when we threw all of the chairs on the school roof, and then we laughed and laughed and laughed because no one could sit down?
What about that time that we released three pigs onto campus, numbered 1, 2, and 4, and they could never find the third pig?
That was good.
Oh, I miss those days so bad whenever I lived underneath the gymnasium in the boiler room with my mother's corpse. Ah, good times.
Yeah, I absolutely remember that.
Yeah, I would invite you down and kill you and have patty cake.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, rent free.
Knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog my bone, thank you. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
I don't know either, man.
Rent a bone.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to the Indie Film Review.
That's Dan.
Hi.
I'm Jared. And this is a show where we talk about independent films and then we review them. That's it.
That's all we need. Anyway, we watched a film.
Dan, what movie did we watch?
We actually watched a episode in quotes, a series, a anthology series called Into the Dark is the anthology series. It's a Hulu original series, and it is full of horror movies that are based upon specific holidays. So they have some for Christmas, they have some for Halloween, they have some for April Fool's Day. And this one in particular that we watched is called School Spirit. And let me find the holiday that it is supposedly...
Yeah, what is the holiday? There's a holiday involved in this?
Yes. Hold on.
Yeah, I was so confused about what Into the Dark was.
Well, Jared, while I'm looking it up, you can talk about one that you've already seen, right?
Oh, yeah. So I had seen Pooka, which I think I talked about a little bit on this podcast.
But that was a Christmas episode, right?
Yes, that was Christmas themed, and that was fantastic. Loved it. I highly recommend watching Pooka.
Okay, so the holiday for School Spirit is a stretch, because the holiday is called...
Stretchmas? Dude, I love Stretchmas.
It's called the first day of school. Ooh. That's not a holiday for anyone. Trust
crickets,
me.
Crickets.
It's not a holiday for the students, and you damn sure know it's not a holiday.
That's not a recognized national holiday in at least the United States. I don't know if it is for other people.
And if you do celebrate it outside of the United States, I'm going to say you're wrong, because that's what I do. There's a couple more that I do really want to see, like the one that I was talking about, that's called I'm Just Fucking With You. It's about an internet troll that gets his comeuppance by a hotel manager that just keeps, like, tormenting him with practical jokes. But he keeps, like, throughout the entire movie, he just, like, I'm just fucking with you, man. I'm just fucking with you. So, I don't know. There's a bunch more that I want to see. So, I'm probably going to end up watching all of these, even though School Spirit was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, budget-wise, these films are looking pretty set. I mean,
definitely
the way this film looked and that Pooka looked, they look good.
Here's the deal. More and more streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Apple TV, HBO Max, they're coming out with original content, and there's a lot of money behind it. So it's almost like the independent nature of Netflix originals is going away, and we don't have the same... what's the word I'm looking for?
Standard? I don't know.
Standard, maybe. We don't have the same standard for what is a Netflix original anymore. It used to be independent, but now it's big budget. And, like, it's we can't necessarily use them anymore. So I will say that doing this one or choosing this one was a faux pas on my part. I didn't realize how budgetary it was going to be. But we did it, we watched it, and we're going to review it.
We kind of break our rules sometimes, it's fine. But this was published by Blumhouse, who they are known for doing...
independent horror features.
Low-budget, yeah. Independent films. So them teaming up with Hulu, I don't know, I still think it kind of works.
I think it does, too.
There are higher-budget films that are independent that are still out there.
Well, what's fucking crazy is just... the amount of dollars that went into this compared to the amount of dollars that went into other films that we review on the show. And this one was super disappointing compared to other films.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Entombed.
And I'll also say, too, like, I've never heard of Into the Dark. So,
yeah.
I doubt anyone else has. So, we're still, like, highlighting an independent thing that Blumhouse did in conjunction with
True.
So I think it still kind of works. So, Dan, tell us about whatever this movie was called.
Well, okay, it's called School Spirit, and my initial thought about this film, just by very quickly skimming the synopsis, I thought it was going to be The Breakfast Club with ghosts.
Yeah, I was hyped on that. This is what I was sold on.
I was wrong, because it is not a ghost, it's a fucking masked slasher, like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, the fucking plot of this film is, there's a legend of the school spirit of this high school, Hellbrook. It's Hellbrook Admirals. So there's a mascot that is a pirate admiral kind of dude. He's dressed up kind of like old-timey pirate, and he chases the kids around after they do their Breakfast Club get to know each other and starts to murder them. That's basically all it is. But it essentially is a rehashing of Breakfast Club. It's a rehashing of Friday the 13th and Psycho. It's a rehashing of any kind of slasher film. And I was very disappointed that it wasn't actually a ghost story. It turned into a slasher.
How good would it have been if they made you think it was a slasher, and then the last 30 minutes is like, oh no, this is just a real ghost, and you guys are all fucked?
That would have been cool. Or like because I guess the opposite is true, and I didn't end up liking it. But I will say, once we get to it, this film, largely disappointing, I did enjoy the ending.
I enjoyed most of it, and there is a little twist at the end where you're like, ooh, I see what you did there, movie.
That's what I'm saying. That little like, that little twist, that little wink at the audience, I'm like, oh, that was nice. That was a nice little...
Yeah. Wink and a handshake. Wah, wah.
Wink and a blowjob.
What? Moving on. Dan, why don't we get into questions?
That's what winks proceed.
Yes. Classic. Wink to my wink.
Okay, here are my questions. How did you like the silly teenage comedy that was trying to be like the Breakfast Club aspect of the movie?
I mean, not so much the comedy, it was inoffensive, but I really enjoyed the characters bonding and clashing. I really enjoyed the vice principal, Armstrong. I thought his performance was amazing. I thought his story was extremely interesting. I liked every aspect of this movie except for the horror aspect.
That's exactly how I feel about it.
Ruined the film.
That's how I feel about it. That's hilarious.
The horror of this movie is done in such a tropey, by-the-numbers, boring way, and everything else is so interesting. And not necessarily fresh, but I was engaged with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it felt like, oh, we have to do the murder now, so in order to facilitate the murder, we need to throw logic out the window, we need to, like, suspend our disbelief just to astronomical portions. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense that any of this would be happening. Characters are just standing there and waiting to be killed by, like, the bad guy. They're like, oh no, it's my time to get killed. I guess I will just let myself be killed. And when you find out who the killer is, which my question to you, Dan, is, did you find out who the killer is? One. And two, if so, how long did it take you to figure it out?
Okay, halfway through the movie, I'm like, okay, this is definitely a slasher. It's somebody who is at the school that we know of.
Yeah.
And the only guess I had was the one who it was.
Yeah, and it was kind of fun thinking about who it was at first, but just because of, like, what the camera was showing us.
Yeah, they showed us too much.
Yeah, it really gave it away way too fast just by, like, positioning of where everyone was.
The dude, the principal, he reads through the reasons that the kids are at detention, and he's like, what the fuck? And then he takes that one kid out, and, like, you know something's up. So, like,
yeah,
where's the fucking
mystery?
Immediately
gave it away.
Yeah.
It actually shows the email again, because the kids go into his office and investigate. I just paused it right there. I mean, I already knew, but it was like, oh, yeah, it's obvious. What's going on here? And for some reason, the kids read that, don't say anything about this obvious fact.
Because they were so concerned with Erica Yang.
Okay, Dan, do you have another question for me?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact, Jared. Whenever you introduce a character in a teen film, do you absolutely need to make that character wear their personality on their sleeve? Because not everybody in this film does this, but there's a character in this film that carries around a fucking basketball the entire fucking film. As if we needed to know that he's a fucking basketball player, like, just in our head, just like they're throwing the basketball at our face saying, hey, do you get it yet? He's a jock. He's a jock, guys.
He's in his basketball uniform because he was there for practice.
But he's like, he totes around the fucking basketball and like he plays with it. He's like, going for a left. He's up for the punch. Goal! It's like, well, fuck
his
you,
personality
dude.
Is single-minded, like, I just want to bone.
Bone and ball.
Erica. I want to do some bony ball. And I think I could argue that all of these characters really lay their personality.
They do,
they
but
are.
Just the for some reason the prop made it that much worse.
Yeah, but I don't think it was annoying to me because if this was a TV series, it would be kind of silly. But they don't have enough time to tell the audience what these characters are about. And I feel like besides Basketball Kid, who was only there to be killed, mm-hmm. he was a prop for Erica and to have tension between Erica and skinny weirdo kid. What's his name?
Brett.
Brett, is it?
Brett, Vic, Russ, and I don't remember the other girl's name.
Lizzie.
Lizzie.
But yeah, like he's there for a purpose. The rest of the kids have their own personality and things going on. So it's like they're outside of their outside layer of like, oh, I'm like the cool bully guy or whatever. And then there are some things beneath that because it's a lot of times characters like, oh, you don't know me or you don't know how I really am. That's a big theme in this of people judging people just on their outward appearances, like how people are judging Erica to be like this perfect student and a role model of society and what everyone should aspire to be. And those are the best parts of the film and the stuff I really like because it drives the killer to like idolize Erica and think mm-hmm. like she is the greatest, she's the best. I need to protect her from all of these delinquents that she's stuck in detention with because Erica gets sent to detention and it's a whole big thing of like, why is she there? She's like a perfect student.
My question then moving into spoiler territory, do you think that the killer attended detention simply because Erica went to detention that day?
So guys, this is spoilers. If you want to watch this movie, it's called School Spirit again. It's on Hulu. I mean, you could do worse. I thought the movie was pretty fun. Like, if you want to see like a dumb slasher movie,
like
go
I
watch
said,
it.
I thought
it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I'm going to end up watching all of these just to have movies to watch. And I love horror movies, yeah. So why not? And I'm really excited to see Pooka eventually. So I'm getting there. Did you know that there's a sequel to Pooka, by the way?
I saw something about that. It was like Return of... I don't know how there is a sequel.
Pooka Lives!
Once you watch the movie, you're going to be like, I don't get how there's a sequel. All right, spoilers. Dan, you had asked me a question.
Yeah, do you think that the guy who is the killer attended detention that day only because he saw that Erica was there?
To answer your question, Dan, I absolutely think that that was the case.
Okay.
Because he was not on the detention roster. He put himself on the handwritten attendance roster.
Yeah.
But in the email, he was not in the email. Because, like, does this kid still even go to school? I don't understand. Because the big twist is, like, the kid, the murderer is this nerdy kid. What's his name? Russ?
No, Russ is the guy that died first. It's Brett. Brett is the one. So basically, yeah, he lives at the school in, like, the basement with the mom's corpse because... The lore of this movie is these students, what did they do?
They pranked his mom like 10 years ago.
And they ended up killing her?
Yeah, and then they hid her in the school mascot uniform and put her somewhere. But then here's the thing, okay, how did he get the corpse back in the high school? I mean, the police would have found it. This is a story that happened, so it's like, did no one ever find out that this happened, but it's somehow still a legend? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, how is he living in the school? How does he have this secret basement classroom that no one goes to? How does he get all the corpses there without anyone knowing? Like, every time he kills someone, this kid weighs 80 pounds soaking wet.
Exactly.
And he's able to magician these bodies everywhere after, like, dismembering them. And there should be blood everywhere. And it's only, there's only blood when the plot says there should be blood, blood to guide the main characters to where they need to go. And all of that stuff is just so frustrating because he becomes like superhuman when he puts on the outfit. And I think it's so dumb because imagine if it was just some like idiot cosplay, like skinny nerd with a sword running around school. And you were a big jock guy with a fire axe. Would you just fucking kill the shit out of that dude? Like,
yes.
I don't know. What's going
yes
on?
Yes and no, because... Remember Scream. Scream grounded itself in reality, even though it was a satire of slasher films. Like the killer in that movie didn't have superpowers, and he was very clumsy, very reckless. So that's kind of where I got it from. Like, it didn't echo Scream. It echoed more, Friday the 13th and Psycho because of the mom aspect of it, and just your run of the mill 80s slashers.
I just felt like, whenever we had the killer on screen, it just became a completely different film.
Exactly.
And I would have been more okay with it if any of it made sense. Like, the only thing that would make sense is if the vice principal was the killer, because mm-hmm. he is actually a grown man who could be doing all this stuff. But then that would have been less fun. But then it was so obvious who the real killer was anyways. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about everything? I'm like, does this kind of stuff bother you?
No, it 100% bothers me. Like, okay, so here's a couple things that bother me. I didn't like the Erica girl's acting. Her name is Maggie Q, the actress. I know Maggie Q can do well because I've seen her in other things, but I think it's just like she was putting on too much of a act for this role. And it got like kind of stale to me.
Annie Q, you mean?
Annie Q. I thought Maggie Q, my bad. Yeah, Annie Q.
That's okay. Yeah, there were, whenever she was like giving her like school spirit speech, but I think that was on purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
She was like so cringy and fake. And then they do that again at the end.
Yeah, it ties back into the end where she's like, she starts playing the victim. Like it's a role she's playing, not the fact that she is a victim. She's playing a victim, which is awful.
Yeah, and it's interesting that they went with that.
Awful in a general sense. I liked it. Like I said, I liked this ending a lot. Mm-hmm. But it was just, like you said, it's cringy. It's like, ugh, just stop being so goody-goody.
Yeah, when people take tragedy and then they exploit it mm-hmm. for their own personal gain, she does that to great effect here. But then it's like, is she really that psychopathic and cold-hearted where all of these people dying, she's like, on a dime, can just switch and be like, okay, now it's time to... time to make this for my own benefit for when I go to college or whatever. And I'll get to go.
I don't know if she is that psychopathic, but I like the implication that she's that psychopathic. Like, you can make a fucking sequel about this chick, and like the same thing happens to her again. Ooh. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This lady's got balls of steel.
But I will say, there's a scene where they get high together. And she goes off with her boyfriend and they basketball kind of fuck. And then they end up not fucking because she's hungry. And she's like, I'm about to pass out. So she goes to a vending machine and she spends 5 minutes in front of this vending machine, just mm-hmm. listing the things that are in the vending machine that we can't see. It's a wide shot of a girl staring at a vending machine, listing the things that are in the vending machine.
Yeah,
I don't know about that. I think I can shoot a better scene than that. I don't know. The other thing that really bothered me.
Holy shit, Dan. That was great. Just fucking get wrecked movie.
The other thing, it didn't bother me. The other thing that was like very notable to me in a positive way was whenever they killed Lizzie, because it was so short, because she runs away and then she stops, like all people do in a fucking film and turn around and scream.
It was a cool scene, but it was just silly that she would just sit there and wait for the axe to get into her head.
But The axe got into her head, and I was not expecting a full-fledged axe. Oh my god, it looked amazing. That's really what it was.
Also, to go back to that vending machine scene, mm-hmm. I don't know why that's so hard for me to say. Vending machine scene. Vending machine scene. It was only there to have a little jump scare. Ooh, spoopy. But, like, the scares in this movie are so non-existent, and you mm-hmm. don't care, that whenever a scene like that would come up, it felt like just a dead scene that had no purpose. You're like, why is this here? I don't care. Dan, you were so focused on her, like, listing different foods. You're just like, what is this scene about? I'm not getting any information. And you're supposed to be focused on, like, oh, there's a scary bad guy behind her. What's going to happen?
But it took so long to get there.
Yes, it's a major failing of the movie, the horror, absolutely, of this film. And it's a shame because every other aspect is so good.
Exactly. And it's also a shame because the fucking anthology series is a horror series. And, like, you know, you're not going to hit, you're not going to have all these hits, but at least the least you could do is, like, not be so tropey. It's like this film depended mm-hmm. too much on the tropes that it was trying to navigate. But, like you said, the Breakfast Club aspect and the teen aspect, that worked. And they were able to rehash it without it being boring. Yeah, the horror was just like, we knew who it was, and whenever we find out why he did what he did, basically the reason why he kills people is he's trying to improve the school grade, essentially. Like, not the school grade, but the school morale. And standing. Like, this will be a better school if we didn't have these degenerates here.
Well, then, here you go. So, like, the final scene, Erica gets brought to the secret classroom where all the dead kids are, and his mom is, or whatever. He has a pile of cell phones in that room. And I'm like, how have they not GPS tracked where this room is and where all these missing kids are?
You're right.
There were so many missing kids.
This film completely exists in a different reality.
In this universe, no one cares about any of these kids.
Or GPS.
How could they have not investigated this?
In this universe, we have no global point system. we also have cops, but they stop working after a case.
They're like vampires. They can't enter the school unless you invite them in.
No, the fucking principal, like, locked them out. Remember, he locked the people in, but he locked the cops out. So that's why there's a whole SWAT team that can't open the fucking door because it's locked.
Well, Sarge, can't get in. Today's a holiday, you know, so, you can't, first day of school, do you know that? It's a holiday. Oh, yeah, you're right. First day of school, I remember celebrating that when I was a wee lass. Okay, Dan, I had one more thing I wanted to ask you before we close, because I know we're running long, but, so it's showing five people writing on this. It says three teleplay and then two by story. Do you know the difference between the two?
So a story would be, like, the equivalent of, like, saying we came up with the story together.
Okay.
We might have written it down, but it's mostly just like we came up with the idea. But then the teleplay would be the actual script that gets written from that original idea.
Gotcha. So yeah, it seems like at least three people were trying to write on this,
which always hurts a film 100%.
Yeah, I'd say two is okay, but once you start getting to more than that, it's
like, that's what happened with Twin Peaks. Like, it just, the amount of writers increased, and they wanted to take their babies, you know, once you write things, it's your baby, and you want to see it grow. So, like, you have multiple people writing, and they might have the same end goal in mind, but how they get there is going to be different, and we're going to be paying attention to different aspects, and some writers might be better than other writers, and, you know, you have to, like, work with that. So it's weird to see three people on a fucking, you know, hour and 20 minute film.
But yeah, final thoughts. I don't know. This movie is pretty good. I enjoyed it. Just turn your brain off, I guess. Don't be like me.
Yeah, you can enjoy it.
It's not going to scare you or anything, but it's like a fun thing you could put on. It's fine.
I'm going to keep watching the series to find more scary ones. See if there's going to be anything that does do the trick. Yeah. My final thought is, you know, thinking about what you just said with the amount of writers, like, I wonder if this is a really cool project where Hulu's just kind of, you know, letting new blood into the industry.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally for that. Absolutely. I mean, I've never seen any of these actors or anything. I mean, I'm sure they've been doing other stuff.
Well, I'm talking about the writers, too. It's like, let's get a bunch of writers on this so they can practice.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make sense because there, you have a lot of things like, you know, imitation's the highest form of flattery, but also creation comes from imitation. Like, you know, they took cues from The Breakfast Club, but this movie wasn't The Breakfast Club. They took cues from everything that we keep saying, but, you know, they made it an original film at least.
Well, here you go. So Mike Gann, the director, who I think did a really great job, and he was he did some of the writing for the movie, too. He had done three shorts, and then he made Into the Dark. So this was his first movie.
Right.
And then he's doing another movie called Burn. So I thought he was he did an amazing job in this.
Yeah.
So as like, if this is one of his first like full feature works, that's incredible. So, I mean, there's a lot of talent here, and I feel like it'll be fun to kind of see them make more things in the future.
I agree.
Alrighty. Dan, do the plugs. Do the plugs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We got a brand new logo. Check it out. It's going to be up on Instagram soon. I forgot to post it. Jared, talk about that Necropodicon.
Hey, the Necropodicon is a place that you can go to that has podcasts like ours. So if you're like, hey, I like podcasts, and you're like, maybe I find more podcasts, and then you type in Necropodicon. It's like Necronomicon, but podcasts.
It's like necrophilia.
If that makes sense. Oh my God, Dan. It's not like that at all. I feel like I'm like your younger brother and you're embarrassing me. And I'm just like, get out of my room. I'm trying to do my live action role play. So anyways, if you go to that website, necropodicon.com, you can click on the link to the Discord. You can read our bios and or come talk to us on Discord. It's fun. But yeah, thank you for listening. I appreciate you guys. I feel like the show has really been growing.
And showing.
Even in the last few months. Yeah, we've been growing and showing, and it's kind of fantastic. I really appreciate it. We're getting a lot of emails requesting films. That's still going strong, and I thank you all. I really, this is amazing.
It's special. It's a very special
it's
moment.
It's so special, and you're special too.
So, Dan, you have the final word.
Hey, I'm holding a football, and I'm wearing a football helmet, and I'm about to kiss a girl, and I just want you to know that because I'm a football player, okay?
Hey, it's your best friend Danny here. If you enjoy art, literature, or the creative process, you may enjoy the comedy podcast Grow Out of It. You may even learn something about your long-lost childhood self. Or you might just get something like this.
Mason and I hadn't really talked much. Besides our first encounter and the occasional, "Help me stand up!" we hadn't had a need to really sit down.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.